to see everyone back with us this evening. We'll be turning your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Be where we will be studying from tonight. Enjoy from time to time doing some character studies. Looking at a particular man or woman, a character, if you will, within the pages of the Bible and studying him and maybe some things that he did. When we look at John, one of the ways that we can introduce John the Baptizer is as John, the man who introduced Jesus. Friends, the person who introduces someone else, a public speaker or whatever the case may be, and the way in which that introduction is made, they may have had a profound effect upon the reception given to the person being introduced. And we clearly see that with John the Baptizer. The way he introduced Jesus and the way he conducted himself in that, we see that effect being had upon how Jesus was received. As a matter of fact, when Jesus came along, what did John do? What did he say to his followers? Follow him. He is the one that's been promised. He is the one that we are to be following. And so we see that effect upon his own disciples, if you will, those that had been following him and listening to his speeches and such. But friends, I'll tell you this, as a preacher, as a public speaker, every public speaker has had the twinge of apprehension while waiting to be introduced to their audience, to the folks that they're going to be speaking to. And the apprehension is generally not because of fear or fear of the audience, but rather a concern as to how they're going to be presented to those waiting to hear them. Nowhere is the importance of the introducer and the introduction illustrated any better than we find here in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. We're going to read verses 19 through 37, and I want you to pay attention here to what is taking place and how John conducts himself and what he has to say about himself as well as about Christ. Beginning in verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they said, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, wherefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. What we see here with John the Baptist, with the baptizer, is the text showing us, demonstrating how important it is for the person doing the introduction to know himself, to know the person he's going to introduce and the way in which the introduction is to be made. So let's look at this, and then at the end we'll make a little bit of application. First of all, John knew himself. In verses 19 through 23, we see how well John knows himself and his role that he's playing. And this is the record of John, the apostle John records, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you? Who are you, John? What are you doing? What is all of this? When John says, "I am not the Christ," we see that there were those that thought maybe that he was. He was preaching boldly. He was baptizing. And so some were saying, well, that he's got to be the Christ. He's got to be the one that has been promised. So John puts that to rest right off the bat, doesn't he? I am not Christ. I am not the anointed one. I am not the Messiah. And so they say, well, if you're not Christ, then who are? Are you Isaiah? Are you Isaiah? Are you, or Elijah rather? Art thou Elias? He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Again, coming back to, well, you gotta be Christ then. That prophet, and we go on and we see that finally what John says, what do you have to say for yourself then? If you're not Christ, you're not Elijah, you're not that prophet for whom we're looking. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah or Isaiah. You see, here this group of priests and Levites being sent out from the Pharisees, they came to John. Who are you? I'm not the Christ. John had aroused that public stir with his powerful personal presence and his preaching. He did not capitalize on it though, did he? He did not say, look at me. He did not call that attention to himself, but rather he said, even of himself, I'm the voice of one that cries in the wilderness. There's someone, as we read a moment ago, there's someone that's going to come after me. You see, friends, John's personal popularity was such that he could have promoted himself when that opportunity presented itself. You see his popularity in Matthew 3, 1 through 7, where it says that all of Judea went out unto him to be baptized. They all went out. You see in Mark 1 and verse 4 his popularity. Or, you know, when they asked him these questions, John could have given vague answers and let someone else elevate his status beyond what was accurate and appropriate, but he didn't do that. Many would have believed, indeed, that he was the Christ. Some already thought he might have been. Some thought he was Elijah, reincarnated, so to speak. But John, no doubt, had been told and taught by his parents about the heavenly revelation they had received. They described to him, most likely, his mission and the Elijah-like spirit in which that mission was to be carried out, Luke 1, 5 through 17, that revelation that was given unto his parents. And so he had a real clear understanding of who he was as well as what his job was. The one who makes the introduction has to prepare the way for the one he's presenting. Get the listeners ready for what he's about to hear. John is the visual here of how that task is properly carried out. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Isaiah 40, 1 through 4. Friends, that's a direct prophecy concerning John the Baptizer. And that's what John says of himself. Friends, nothing is more distracting, nothing is more devastating than to have the person making the introduction become the focus. Many of us have witnessed, I'm sure, and some of us have experienced introductions that become a platform for the person doing the introduction to promote themselves rather than to prepare the audience to hear the person they'd assembled to hear in the first place. John didn't do any of that. John knew who he was, he knew what his job was, and he carried it out to perfection. Number two, Not only did John know himself, he knew the person that he was to introduce. We see that in verses 24 through 34. We find that those that were sent were of the Pharisees, wanting to know who he was, were told where these things happened, and the very next day, look what happens. Jesus comes. He sees Jesus coming unto him, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away or taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Go back to the first part of John chapter 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So you see there what John is doing. He is introducing the Savior. He says, "And I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest, he should be made known to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now friends, those who were present, or rather those who were sent by the Pharisees, they asked why he would be baptized if he wasn't that Christ, if he wasn't Elijah or that prophet which the Scriptures described. John not only knew himself, but he knew who Christ was. The person making the introduction needs to know the person that he's introducing so that he can promote the speaker personally in the eyes of the audience, which is to hear his message. Jesus, who is the Word, he is the light, he is the very Son of God. He was in their presence and they did not know him until John told them who he was. John calls for them to intently focus on him and examine him, to examine closely the Lamb of God whose blood would be shed to remove the sin of the world. And he gave them the reason to listen to what the Messiah had to say, as we see in Malachi 3 and verse 10. So John knew himself. He knew who it was that he was to introduce. And number three, John knew what to do when the introduction had been made. Look at verses 35 through 37. Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God," and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Once the proper introduction is made, the one doing the introducing needs to bow from view. John demonstrates how to exit the spotlight so another can get the proper attention. You see, when Jesus arrived on the scene, John directed all eyes to be fixed upon the Lamb of God. And once John's disciples are properly introduced to the Lord, they didn't hesitate. They immediately followed. John, and notice that John didn't call them back. He didn't say, "Hey, wait a minute, where are you going?" He let them go. Because he, after all, the Lamb of God, it was after who they were to follow. At a later time, after a question had arisen about how many disciples John had compared to those baptized by Jesus' disciples, listen to John's summation in John chapter 3. John summed it up quite nicely when he says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John 3, 23 through 30. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Friends, John knew what to do after the introduction had been made. There are many things that we can learn from John the Baptizer. I believe this is one of the great important lessons that John teaches us here concerning the introduction of the Christ. You see, John had the divine charge, prophetic commission from God, and he had the personal privilege to introduce the Messiah to the world for the very first time. And the way in which he accepted his charge and carried out his commission demonstrated that he understood the importance of introducing the Lord to mankind. And friends, here's our application. May you and I realize that we have the opportunity each and every day to introduce Jesus to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors, our co-workers, and fellow men. May you and I learn from John how to properly make such an important introduction that we must first know the Lord ourselves. You can't really properly introduce someone you do not know. We have to know him before we can introduce him to others. We should never then allow ourselves to become the focus and distract from someone's view of Christ. And our goal should be for Jesus to ever increase in the lives of those we introduce to Jesus and our importance to them to continually decrease when it comes to the Lord. Friends, as we think about these things, when we think about John, the man who introduced Jesus, what can we do with this lesson? Friends, let's learn from John. Know yourself, number one. And that Jesus is all the more important than I am. He is the one that died upon the cross for me. He is the one that made it possible for us, for you and I, to one day hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Without him, we have no hope. So, friends, as we put away our Bibles and we take out our psalm books, let's center our minds upon the Messiah, the Christ, as John introduced him. He said of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You know, that would mean something to the Jews, would it not? Those that were hearing John at this time. It was a lamb that was to be sacrificed for their sins. And so when John looks up and he sees the Christ coming and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I can just imagine all eyes turning. And as John directed their attention, focusing upon the Christ. And as John began to describe his work in comparison to the work of Christ, you see what it is that happens. Those two disciples immediately went after Jesus. Friend, would you do the same tonight? We have been introduced to the Christ through the Word of God. He is the Lamb that was slain for the remission of our sins. What will we do with that gift? Will we follow him, or will we continue in our way? Friend, if you're here this evening, having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you bring your life to him? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as he's described? That he came to this earth and bled and died for you? Friend, if you believe that and you believe it with all your heart, would you repent of your sin? Leaving those things in the past, giving your life to Christ, confessing him then before men, and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Would you come to know the Lord? And friends, once you've done that, would you introduce him to others? Would you show them, those around you, would you show them the way? Friend, it may be that you're here tonight having obeyed the gospel, but you've forgotten who Christ was and who he is. Would you be reminded? Would you be reintroduced, if you will?
to the Savior of mankind. Friend, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to repent of sin, friend, or if you just need the prayers of the church, would you come while we stand and while we sing?